It's the first of a series of lessons that we're going to present on elders and the eldership. And the goal of these lessons will be to communicate God's design for church leaders and how we will plan to have an eldership in the near future. Nathan, Steve, and myself we'll be presenting these lessons over the next 2 months. And we pray that you will be here, listen, and participate in our endeavor. Church leadership. And this morning, I'm going to talk about the role of elders. And you're going to see me say this several times: lead, feed, and protect. The need for elders. Jesus said in Matthew, as he was going out and presenting his material, his lessons to those in Israel, he went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, what was his reaction? He had compassion for them because they were harassed, and different translations might use the word distressed or weary or confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. They had elders. They had the Sanhedrin. 70 men made up of Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, lawyers, and other wise men. They were supposed to be their leaders. But according to Jesus, they were not leading. And so the people that he was speaking to, he could see, were leaderless and confused and distressed, helpless. I want to talk about having leaders for our congregation as well. Jesus is the good shepherd. I won't read this again because we're short of time, and James did an excellent job reading it to you. But you see the characteristics of a good shepherd. They're willing to lay down their life for their sheep. They know their sheep. The sheep know them. They protect them. They take care of them. Lead, feed, protect. I read Psalm 23 at the beginning of our service. I won't read that again. But in that psalm, you see the shepherd providing a place to feed the sheep. He leads the sheep. He protects them. He comforts them. And he provides them with everything in abundance. That's what a shepherd does. It's the metaphor that's used to describe leaders for a local congregation. We're going to see that there are three words that describe this particular persons that are the leaders of the congregation. You can see the word shepherd, which I've mentioned many times. And I mentioned also elders. And there's another word that gets used, and that's overseers. So let's look at this. There's a good scripture that kind of combines them all. Peter wrote this in a letter. In chapter 5 it reads, "So I exhort the elders among you." And he had written this letter to different congregations. "As a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, as well as a partaker of the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading glory, crown of glory. So we can look to the chief shepherd. We can see how did he live? How did he behave? How was his life? What did he do? And we all who are shepherds, or even those of us who are just members of a congregation, need to take on those characteristics. Perfect example, we need to grow. You know, when you start out as an elder, you're chosen or you're appointed to be an elder, you don't get it right. It's a long journey, but you have a goal and you keep working toward it, and we all do, and it's to be like our Savior, be like Jesus with love and compassion for his flock. It is a position or an office. When Paul wrote to the Philippian church, he lists the letter to these different groups of people and singles out the elders, the deacons, and the saints. We're all saints here. I'm just going to show you some scriptures where this position is mentioned and or this office is mentioned. The English Standard Version, which is the version most of the time I quote, it says, it's a trustworthy statement. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Okay, that's in 1 Timothy 3. The New King James reads, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. And the New American Standard says, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop. And then finally, the NIV, which a lot of people have here, uses also the position of a bishop. So all I'm trying to show here is that there is, within a local congregation, something we call the eldership, the leaders, their overseers, and it is a task that we're given to do, to be a church that is fully equipped to carry out the work of God. I want to spend just a few minutes boring you with Greek, and that's because these words in the Bible have specific meanings, and yet today these words are misused by our other Christian friends. It's misused by the Catholic Church, where bishops are elevated positions. The Protestants, sometimes they'll have bishops in their organization as well. And I know as a young man, when we first moved here, there would be a knock on the door, and an 18-year-old would be standing here and saying, I'm an elder of the Mormon Church. And, what? I'm older than you. So I just want to talk about these words. We see them in the Bible. Okay, the word that's translated elder is presbyteros. An older man just means he's old. The age at which one gets this distinction is hard to say. But what it's trying to point out is somebody who has lived life, experienced life, and has wisdom associated with age. You know, been there, done that. Made mistakes, learned from the mistakes. And so the word elder is used in that sense for the Greek word Presbyteros, and the Presbyterian Church has grabbed that name to say, okay, we're going to be ruled by elders. Now, the word overseer or bishop comes from the word episkopos, and it just means a superintendent, an overseer, and it's made up of two words, epi, which means over, and skopos, which means watchman. So an overwatchman, a superintendent, an overseer. And yet, some denominations, a bishop is not just involved with a local congregation, but has maybe other people under him. And there's different levels of bishops as well. So that's a word that gets used. But all it means is somebody that looks over things. And then the word shepherds, pastors, is from the Greek word poimen. And it's simply a shepherd. Nothing fancy about it. And where it gets misused in denominations is it's the preacher, the evangelist, is called the pastor. And he could be 25 years old. Single. And yet you're going to see when we study the qualifications of elders or pastors or bishops or overseers or shepherds, they have certain qualifications. They're older. They're married. They have a family. These are all characteristics that are required to be a leader, church leader, to be part of the leadership of a local congregation. Okay. I'm going to look at some of these words. I'm watching the time. And just say, the idea of an elder or elders, that word is not new to the scriptures. And when we were in class this morning, we even saw that word. And this is just a small list of that word in the Old Testament, the word elder being used in all those. And let me just give you an example. And that's Moses. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and I thus am to be remembered throughout all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt. And I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites. That was Hittites, and now we have Hivites and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. So Moses was to go inform the elders of Israel. So these were the older, more experienced men, and recognized by the people to be people who had wisdom. Another scripture in Numbers is, the Lord said to Moses, gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel. Alright? Whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. And bring them to the tent of meeting and let them take their stand there with you, and I will come down and talk with you there. And I will take some of the spirit that is in that is on you and put it on them. They shall bear the burden of the people with you so that you may not bear it yourself alone. Moses was trying to lead this some million people out of Egypt into the promised land, and it was just too big a job. And his father-in-law made a suggestion to him, and that was, you need help. Get some help. And so what does God tell him? Get these elders, pick 70 of them out, and have them help you. And I will help them help you by putting my spirit in them. So all I'm trying to point out here is that the word elder existed, and I mentioned that just as we were looking at when Jesus was preaching the gospel, there were elders, and they had the Sanhedrin, which was probably 70 people as well. They were leaders of the people of Israel. They weren't doing their job, but that's all I'm trying to say here is elders existed. And, you know, even in the time of Joshua, and then after his death, we read, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua and had known all the work that the Lord did for Israel. So elders had a leadership role in Israel, and they did their job after Joshua died. But we all know what happened after they died. They somehow didn't pass it on to the next generation, and then Israel went through that cycle of judges leading the Lord, being punished, and then coming back to the Lord, and multiple cycles of that took place during the period of judges. There's elders in the New Testament, and we've already seen that in some scriptures. Here's a whole bunch of scriptures where we can see the word, this term, elders in the New Testament. And just a few examples would be, you know, the Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why did your disciples break the tradition of the elders? But they don't wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your traditions?" So the elders had apparently created some traditions that were certainly not from God, but that's what Israel was. That's why they were being led with. They didn't have leaders. They were wandering around. They were leaderless during the time of Jesus. And of course, the elders were involved with the death of Jesus as well. And regards when this was after Jesus' death and his resurrection, and the guards that were there witnessed it, and they went into town, and when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell the people his disciples came by night and stole him away while you were asleep." So again, elders not being leaders as they should be, not saying, "Wow, Jesus has said who he said he would be. He's been resurrected. Death couldn't hold him." And you know, they had witnesses, the guards, and other witnesses as well. And yet they didn't do their job. They were not doing it. And one last one. The church in Jerusalem had elders. And we know that by reading the book of Acts, we see elders being referred to. But I just picked one verse, and that's when Paul was preaching to the Gentiles, and there was a need that arose in Jerusalem because of a famine. And so it says here in Acts 11, the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. I said Jerusalem, bigger than that, Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. And so in the churches that had been established in Judea, and certainly Jerusalem was one of them, there were elders. Okay. And there's one more in the book of Acts, and that is that Paul, when he went out and preached to the Gentiles, and churches were established in the various places that he went back afterwards through these towns, and he appointed elders in churches. And so I'm using this scripture to point out that a church needs leadership, it needs elders. And we read in Acts chapter 14, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, that's not Antioch of Syria, Antioch of Pisidia, strengthening the souls of the disciples and encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So, Paul and Barnabas and Silas, and you're going to read in Titus, Paul, when he wrote to Titus, said, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained in order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife," well, that gets into the qualifications, but Titus, as an evangelist, was given the task of appointing elders. And some 30 years ago, Lanning Courtney, preacher in Blackstone, Massachusetts, appointed Skip Paquette and myself as the first elders of this work here in Tingsboro. So that's what we will be doing in the future. And in James we read, "If a man is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord." So elders are in the role of caring for and protecting the sheep. Well, we did read a little bit about elders being rulers, elders being leaders, and so somebody says, "Well, who made you the boss?" and we're not a boss, first of all. That's not the job. But we're to manage, and we're to rule. And I just want to show you some scriptures that talk about that. In reading the qualification of an elder, one of the things is that he must manage or rule, depending on the translation, his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? Another scripture: "Let the elders who rule well, be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word of the doctrine." So Paul, writing to Timothy, says elders can receive some pay. They can be supported. And they need to be supported for what they do. And the double honor is that they not only get supported by the members, but they get supported in a financial way as well. And then in Hebrews, the Hebrew writer says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your soul as those who will have to give an account." And that's a scary thing. It's a leadership position with authority, but also responsibility, and God will hold elders accountable for the job that they are doing. And finally, like you read in Thessalonians, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work." So it is a position of management, it is a position of authority, it is a position over a local congregation, but when we look at the qualifications, we'll see what that really means. We are leaders, but we're servant leaders. Okay, we lead by example. We're not bosses. We're not in the military barking out orders. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Peter we've read this one several times, but it just puts them all together, that we have elders and shepherds all doing oversight work, and we're going to have to give an account, especially when the chief shepherd appears and we receive our crown of glory. So, to finish up, I think if we look at Acts chapter 20, verses 17 to 35, and I don't want to spend the time to read all those verses to you. Do that on your own. But from these verses, you can see some of the important role that elders have in a local congregation. This is the narrative of when Paul was going to Jerusalem, and then he was going to be imprisoned and eventually get to Rome after a couple of years. But as he was going, he knew he was going to give a final message to this group of people, the elders in Ephesus. And if you remember, in reading the book of Acts, Paul spent like 3 years in Ephesus, which was a long time to be in one place, but he did an effective work there. And so he's on his way to Jerusalem, and he's not even going to stop in Ephesus. He stops in a town that's south of Ephesus, Miletus, and there he meets with the elders. He calls them, they come, and he has his final meeting with them. And in reading verses 17 to 30, you'll see what he has to say. It said, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. Okay, I'm not going to read all those words. But therefore he reads, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for or to shepherd the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw them away, to draw the disciples away. And therefore, be on the alert. Remembering for 3 years, I did not cease day or night to admonish everyone with tears. And he didn't do it for money. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. Remember the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And elders need to be that type of a person. Giving. Selfless. Time, energy, prayer, etc. And so, from this passage, we can summarize some of the things that are part of the role of an elder. We need to proclaim everything helpful publicly from house to house. Verse 27, we need to declare the whole counsel of God. We got to make sure that a congregation knows the whole counsel of God, not just pick and choose, as they would say, a la carte with religion. We have to protect from external threat, wolves, and internal threats, false teachers. And we need to watch, warn, day and night. And verse 32 says, build up, edify, build up the church. And we need to take care of ourselves, but we also need to take care of the needs of others. So, just from that passages, we see the role of elders being portrayed by Paul in the instructions that he gave the elders in Ephesus. And support the weak. I missed that one. Okay. So, in summary, lead, feed, protect. And one last. I've taken the title of a book called They Smell Like Sheep, Spiritual Leadership of the 21st Century. Somebody gave me this book a long time ago. I think there's two volumes now, so I'm going to have to get the second volume to read it. But a shepherd needs to smell like sheep. It means you got to get in there. You got to be in their proximity, holding them, picking them up, carrying them, and they're going to smell like sheep. So that's the end of this lesson for you. Well, as a shepherd, there's a final message for this gathering, and that is, if you haven't taken advantage of the Good Shepherd's giving his life for his flock, you have an opportunity now. You need to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, and then come out and walk in newness of life. So if you're here and you haven't done that, you don't know enough to do that, we're here to help you. And if you're here and you've done that, but you have some other needs that we can pray for you, just let us know. You don't have to do it right now. Now's a convenient time, but certainly let us know. Let your fellow Christians know as well. And we'll do that as we stand and sing a song of encouragement.